Today's daf is Ksubis daf Samach Zayin. We left off on daf Samach Vav Amid Beis. We are at Venagdimun Ben Gurion Lo Avat Sadaka, two lines from the bottom of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lizecha Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. And we thank Dr. Lander for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So what we were in the middle of discussing stories relating to the daughter of Nakdimon Ben Gurion, who was at one point extremely wealthy, and the daughter had fallen on very hard times. So we're going to continue a few more stories about the daughter of Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, since the real topic of our Mishnah was how to account for the ksuba payments, meaning when a woman brings in cash, how much do you write as part of the nedunya and the ksuba? And when a woman brings in items that have to be assessed, how much do you write? So you either raise it 50% when it's cash, you lower it by 20% when it's things that require a shuma. So we're going to discuss how to account for gold in a ksuba. Then the Gemara is going to discuss other items aside from kesef that you would also add 50% to their value when writing in the ksuba. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about how much the father has to give a girl to get married with, and also if a yesoma is getting married, how much we have to make sure she has going into the wedding. And because we're going to be talking about a yesoma, the Gemara is going to talk also about supporting yesomim and many, many stories on Amud Beis about tzedakah and the requirement of Dei Machzor HaShe Yechzor Lo. So this is one of the major tzedakah sugyas in Shas. Ksuba Samach Zayin, along with many dapim in the first parak of Masechet Bava Basra, are where you find many of the tzedakah sugyas in Shas. So let's begin. We are two lines from the bottom of the page. So we had just told the story of the daughter of Nakdim Ben Gurion in the aftermath of the Churban, having to pick out the Sa'orim, Mibein Galalei, Shel Bahemten, Shel Ovdei Kochavim, and the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asked her, what happened to all the money that your father had and that your father-in-law had? And how could you have fallen on such hard times? So she said, don't you know the mashal that they used to give, that melach mamon chaser, that the preservative of money is to give up some of that money, or melach mamon chesed? They didn't do enough chesed, they didn't give enough tzedakah, they had all this money, and they didn't help other people with it, and as a result of that, they fell on hard times. So says Gemara, Nakdim Ben Gurion lo avet tzedakah? Is that true that Nakdim Ben Gurion didn't give tzedakah? Vahatanya, but Braisa tells us, when he would leave his house to go to the Beis Medrash, claim milas hayu matzian tachtov, they would put these very expensive cloths under his feet that he would walk on, uban anim makapulos ameachrav, and he would just leave them there so that the anim could then come and take these cloths and make a lot of money on it. So the anim were able to be supported based on the red carpet that they would roll out for Nakdimon whenever he would walk anywhere. Sounds like an extraordinary amount of tzedakah. So says Gemara, a couple of possible answers. One possibility is, yeah, but that kind of tzedakah does not preserve one's wealth, because he did it only for his own kavod, and when one gives tzedakah only for his own kavod, he's not going to hold on to his wealth. So the Marshan Chidush HaGadol says, wait a second, isn't tzedakah the only mitzvah that you're allowed to actually, b'chanuni no b'zos, you're actually allowed to test the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, I'm giving this tzedakah for whatever, so that I become rich, and you'll still become rich, it's still going to work, it's tried and tested, that you could test the Ribbono Shel Olam with such a thing. Not only that, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, and elsewhere, Homer Salazud Tzedakah Kadesh Yichye B'ni, Hareze Tzadik Gamur. A person says that he's giving tzedakah for an ulterior motive, Kadesh Yichye B'ni, he's a Tzadik Gamur. Some of the Rishonim have a Girsa, what do you mean he's a Tzadik Gamur? He's Ochon Nevelis and Trefus, but he gives tzedakah Kadesh Yichye B'ni, he's a Tzadik Gamur. So some of the Girsa, Harezu Tzedakah Gemura. It is the highest, it's complete tzedakah, it's high level tzedakah. But bottom line is, it certainly counts as great tzedakah. So why over here do we say that l'kvodo u'da'asa he gets punished? So the Marsha says that this is that l'kvodo is worse than any other type of shalol l'shma. There are many shalol l'shmas, and they're all okay when it comes to tzedakah, even if it's to become wealthy. But l'kvodo, to be honored, that's a certain sense of gaiva that's not okay, shalol l'shma. That's the suggestion. Other achronim are not so convinced that that's really the answer. The hafla suggests that it's not the that's derech hateva, that anius is a galgal achozer biolam, that some families are going to be rich in one generation and poor in the next generation. But a person who does tzedakah lishma, then he gets to go chutz mi derech hateva, and the money gets preserved in that family for many generations. So to go chutz mi derech hateva, it has to be done lishma. It's not that it's a punishment that he didn't do it lishma. It's just that that's not the derech. So it is tzedakah gemura, but in the derech hateva, you're not always going to be able to give tzedakah gemura. Or the hafla says it could be that the gemara's real kasha is from the fact that he left klei milas. The gemara, you know, that he left all these fancy cloth under his feet for the other people to take. The Gemara was assuming, says the Hafla, that he probably gave a lot of other tzedakah also. And the Gemara is asking, so he obviously gave what he should have, you know, he obviously gave a lot of money, what he should have been giving. And the Gemara's answer is no, l'kvoda hu David. He only gave when it was l'kvoda, when they were rolling out red carpets for him. That's all he gave, which means that he wasn't giving nearly enough, because he only gave when it was an opportunity l'kvoda, and there were many other opportunities where he should have been giving that he wasn't giving. So it's really about the amount that he wasn't giving nearly sufficiently. That's what the Rav Shimon Shkap writes in his introduction to Shari Yosher, that about this Indian of giving tzedakah as a way of preserving one's wealth or guaranteeing that one becomes wealthy. Rav Shimon writes that it's similar to an investor. You invest money with somebody, so if the person does what you like with your money, you're going to continue to invest more money with that person. Whether the person's a nice guy or not, if he does well with your money, you'll invest more with him. A person could be a very nice guy, but if he does poorly with your money, you're not going to continue to invest with him. So he says, that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with money. That it could be we tell Lashon Hara and we do other things and we're not, but if we do well with the money that Hashem gives us, he'll invest more money in us, meaning regardless of what else is going on in our life, money is a separate cheshbon. And if we don't do well with the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, even if we're real tzaddikim in every other area of life, so Hashem is just not going to trust us with money. So that's the year allowed to do b'chanunin abizos when it comes to tzedakah. But the other possibility is that v'ibay yisei mekdabay le meved lo'avid. He didn't give nearly as much as he was supposed to. Kedamri and shilufum gam l'shichna, that a more wealthy person is expected to carry, to bear a much greater portion of the burden of taking care of the tzedakah for Klal Yisrael. So Tanya, Amar Rav Elazar ben Tzadok, Erev ben Nechama, Im lo re'isiyah sh'aysa melaketa sa'or b'mbein talpe susan ba'ako. I would see Nechama if I didn't have to see the daughter of Nakdimur ben Gurion picking out barley from between the hooves of the horses in Akko. That's how poor she was. Karasi Ola Mikrazai said about her the pasuk that's really about Knas Yisrael. Im lo teidi l'cha yafa benashim tzi'i l'cha be'ikva etzon u'ri'i eskidi osayich. That if Knas Yisrael doesn't know how to pay attention to the Torah and to the mitzvos, so ultimately it's going to be shepherds by the ikva etzon to look for food for its animals. So al tikri gidio sayich, not for food for its animals, ela gvio sayich, but for their own bodies. That if a person doesn't observe Torah mitzvahs properly, so then we ourselves are going to have to go pick out machale behema beikve atzon in order to be able to provide just nourishment for our own bodies. And that's what happened to the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion. Now it doesn't say gvio sayich, it says gedio sayich. So how do you have an al tikri over here? So the Ritva writes that it's lishna ma'alya that it says gedio sayich, but it really means gvio sayich. The pasuk is speaking a lishna ma'alya. The Chachmas Menalach, he says that no, we're darshaning gedio sayich and gvio sayich because the letters dalid and vav are actually interchangeable in atbach. And since they're interchangeable in atbach, like the Gemara says in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, so these are actually interchangeable letters that describe this. Now Rashi on the pasuk of Tzilu Chabik Ve'atzon says the pasuk means something else, that when a person is deciding how to behave and what to do, they should think about the previous generations and the Talmidei Chachamim that came before them and follow that Mesorah of the previous generations. That's why Rav Shachter called his second Sefer the Ik Ve'atzon. He said, because every time I think about how I should behave, whether it be in Psak Halacha, whether it be in Hashkafa, in anything, whatever I should do, I always think of my Rebbeim. I always think, he said, specifically his one real Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. So I always think what he would do. And that's the way a person is supposed to live. Tzi'i l'cha b'ik ve'atzon. So I'm Rav Shem Rabba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Hichnisa lo zahav. So now the the one halachic sugya on the daf, other than tzedakah, is how do we account for gold in a ksuba? So let's say a woman brings in gold in a ksuba, where the husband can, it's not like kesef, where you could immediately invest it and make more money. So shamin osavareu kishavyo, they evaluate what the gold is worth, and that's what they write in the ksuba, that exact amount. They don't add 20% like they would if she brings in kalim. They don't, or subtract 20% rather if she brings in kalim. They don't add 50% like they would if she was bringing in cash. So I asked the Gemara, Mesveh hazahav hareyu ki kalim. We have a brisa that tells us that pieces of gold are treated like kalim. So my love, ki kalim shel kesef depachsi, isn't that referring to like kalim of kesef that go down in value over time after you get married, and the husband is that, and the halacha is therefore that the husband has to be pochis chomesh when he evaluates it in the ksuba. He knocks off 20% when he talks about what his obligations are going to be to pay back in the ksuba. So don't you see that you do knock off 20% because it's like kalim? Says Merlo, kalim shel zav de lo pachsi. It's like kalim of zav that do not go down in value and therefore are assessed as they are. Im kain ki kalov mi bayule. But then the Gemara should have used a better, the Brisa should have used a more descriptive term. It shouldn't have said that zav is ki kalim. It should say zav is like clay zav. It's ki kalov. It's like kalim made out of zahav. Va'otanya, and furthermore, we have another brisa that tells us zahav hareu kikelim, that zahav, as far as assessing it in the ksuba, is treated like kelim. Dinare zahav, coins made out of gold, hare in kiksafim, are treated like kesef. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer b'makom shnagu shlola parton shomen osad, that in a place where they don't exchange them for dinare kesef, then you evaluate them at their current value, v'arein b'shavyein, and that's how much they're accounted for in the ksuba. You don't subtract or add anything. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Aheya. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, there were two statements made by the Tanakhama and one by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Which statement of the Tanakhama was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel commenting on? Ilema Aseifa, if it's on the Seifa, what was the Seifa where we said dinarezov harein ki kesef, that dinarezov have the same din like regular kesef cash, where you add a shlish because you have the ability to invest it right away and over time you'll make money off of it, so you add a shlish to that. And that's what Rishon Gamliel is disagreeing, and he's saying that no, if they're not knowing lefortum, then you don't add a shlish. So that can't be the pshat, because mechal de Tanakama savor afil makom shnagu shelo lefortum halo nafki. That would imply that Tanakama holds that if you have gold that is not used as currency, that no one ever uses to invest or make money off of, that you would still add a shlish. That doesn't make sense. Why would you add a shlish? The whole point of adding 50% is because you're then able to invest and make money with it. Elalav aresha, must be that Rishon Gamliel was commenting on the resha. What did the resha say? The resha said zahav is like kalim, v'hachikamar, and this is what the Bryce is talking about, that the Tanakhama says zav areu ki kalim, my kalim, kalim shel kesef, that the Tanakhama says gold is treated like clay kesef, which are used and therefore go down in value over time, and therefore when assessing it in the ksuba, you knock off 20% from the price when you put it into the ksuba. So pieces of gold also, you knock off 20% of the price. And it's like dinar zav, where the din of dinar zav, where they're not porate the zav, where it's not treated as currency, you don't add 50% because you can't make money, but you also don't knock off 20% because it doesn't go down in value. So that's how we treat chatichos of zav, that we assess them what they're actually worth, and that actual worth gets reflected in the ksuba. So that's a kasha on Rav Shem Bar Abba, because Rav Shem Bar Abba said that we're not pochis b'ksuba from the assessment of the chatichos, from the exact assessment of the chatichos of zav, but the Tanakam over here disagrees. Tanakam over here says we are poches, meaning Ein Hacharan. Rav Shem Gamliel is in agreement with Rav Shem Bar Abba, but why would you pass like Rav Shem Gamliel against the Tanakama? Tanakama says that we are poches. We knock off 20% when it comes to dinari zav. So says when it comes to zav. So says the Gemara, lo liolam asefa. Really, Rav Shem Gamliel is commenting on the sefer. We said that dinari zav has the same status of kesef, where you need to add 50%. Udinafki al yidei adchak. But we said, wait a second, if Zav is not used as currency, so you're not able to invest it, why would you add 50%? How could there even be a havamina that you're going to add 50% of the amount in the ksuba? So says Merno, the case is, you can use it as currency to invest, but only al yidei adchak. It's not easy. Ubahaka mifugi, and that's exactly the machlokas Tanakam. Mar Sovereign Tanakama holds, given the nafki mishabchinan, since you are able to use it to invest and to spend, mishabchinan la, we assess it at the 50% higher value. Umar Sovereign Shumliel holds, given the lo nafki elalidei adchak, since it's not easy to use it for investment money, and it's only bedochak that you're able to make money off of it, la mishabchinan la, we're just going to leave it at its exact assessment, and we're not going to add anything to it. Or another possible answer, Iba Yaseima, maybe the way to understand the brisa is kula Rameshum Gamlieli. The entirety of the brisa is all a reflection of only one shita, the shita of Rameshum Gamlieli, the chisur mechzav achiktani, and the brisa is just missing a little bit of detail. Here's what the brisa means to say: Zav areu kekelim. Zav is like clay zav, where you do not are you not poches nor are you mosif. Which is exactly what Rosh Hashanah Rabbah said, that you leave it at exactly its value. Dinari zav arein kiksafim. Gold coins, that's treated like kesef, where you add 50% into the ksuba. But that's only in a place where they treat gold as currency. But if they don't treat it as currency, then you treat it for its act. Then you account for it in the ksuba and its actual value. Divrei Rabban Shimon Gamliel. All of that is Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Share Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer. Makom Shnagul Shlo Lefarton. Shamed Osan Varein B'Shavien. And this is consistent with what we know. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if it's a place where they don't use gold as currency that could be invested, so then you just treat it for its actual value as a precious commodity, as a precious metal. So the Gemara asks on both of the Tirutzim, but Mikol Makom, either way, Kikelav Mibayulei. We said Zav Harein Kikelim, but what we really mean to say is Zav Harein Kikelav, because if it were like other Kelim, then the halacha would be you'd knock off 20% of the price in the Ksuba. But it's kikelav, it's like clay zav. So kasha, that's taka difficult, why it says kikelim and not kikelav. V'yiba yaseima. Or we could say that the brisa means to say zav is really like clay kesef. Aye, what are we going to do with Rosh Hashanah Barabu, who says you assess it at its actual value? Hakmeiskin b'dava pricha. That both brises, when it says zav is like kelim, are talking about very tiny pieces of gold that if you use, they can actually get ruined over time. And therefore, they're treated like clay kesef, where you knock off 20% of the price when you assess it in the ksuba. Rosh Hashanah Barabu was talking about, when he said that you assess gold for what it's actually worth, he was talking about bars of gold, like big blocks of gold, where it's never going to go down in value, and you just assess it for its actual value. Or another possibility, Rav Ashi Amar, bimamla, that the Bryce is talking about Zav Harein Kikelim means clay kesef, and will be Miyashiv Rosh Hashanah Barabu, because the Bryces are talking about very thin crumbs of gold that get ruined, and therefore they're like clay kesef that lose value over time. And that's why the Baal is Polchis Chomesh in the Ksuba. Rosh Hashanah Barabu is talking about the Chatichos of gold. So it's basically the same answer. It's just a question of how small the Chatichos have to be for us to assume that they're going to lose value over time, and therefore you're going to subtract 20% from their value. So now the Gemara is going to go give a list of other items that we also add 50% in the assessment of the Ksuba. That if she brings in $100, we put in the Ksuba $150. So we said Kesef is such an item because it's currency, and he can go use that and invest and make money off of it. So it's always going to be a 50% premium that's added to the Ksuba. So it's not only cash. The Besamim of the city of Antuchia are apparently very investable, and you can make a lot of money with them. So we also add 50%. The Arabian camels, Isha Gova Parna Meham, the woman can collect one-third more, 50% more in the Nudunya if she brings that into the marriage, because also you can make a lot of money off of them. Amrav Papi, Hani Tosavi Debe Machsi, these clothing from a place called Machsi, Isha Gova Parna Meham, also can be used as an investment to make money off of, and therefore you add 50%. Vamar of Papi Hani Saki de Rodia, the bags of a place called Rodia, Va'ashli de Kamchona, and the ropes of Kamchona, Isha Gova Parna Meham. She could also still collect a 50% premium in the ksuba. Amar Rava Meresh Havamina Hani Arniki Demachosa Isha Gov. Part of me. So Rava says, I used to think that the Arniki of Mechosa, the city of Mechosa, also would be such an item that you add 50% to the ksuba. My time, Asmechatayu Alayu, because they would do business with it, and a woman could be so mechdas that when the husband is being mechayev to her in the ksuba to collect from the arniki, from these arniki de mechuzah, and therefore that it's like a shibud karkaos, so she collected in the ksuba the from the yisomim she can collect even these arniki. So then Rava says, but now I realize kivud chazay deshaklu v'nafki, that since I see that women who collect their ksubas when their grushas are almanos and they take them out v'kimashkiara, and when they find land, Zavni Buhu, they buy the land with these Arniki de Machuza, so I see land is what they're really Samichtas on. They'd much rather have land, have real estate, than have these Arniki de Machuza. So Aminu Asmachtayu Arahu. I changed my mind, and I said they're really Samich in protecting their money in investing in real estate, not the Arniki de Machuza, and therefore a woman cannot collect her ksuba from Yisomim, even from an Arniki de Machuza, because they're not really Samichtas on the Arniki de Machuza. That's what Rava was really talking about, was about using the Arniki de Mechuza as payment for a ksuba that she's able to collect from Yisomim. So he said, I used to think you could do it, now I realize that you can't. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamasi is bito stam, a person who marries off his daughter, he doesn't say exactly how much money he's giving her. Lo yivchus lo mechamishim zuz. He has to give her at least chamishim zuz. Machlokas, what do you mean, for what? Whether it's for clothing, or this is part of the nedunya, that he has to give her a minimum chamishim zuz. But that's the minimum if you don't say exactly what you're giving. Pasuk lachnisa aruma, if the father says that he's willing to marry off his daughter, but he's not providing her any clothing, lo yomar abal kshachnisena lebesi achasena biksusi. The husband can't say, I'm going to wait till the nisuin to buy her clothing. If the father's not providing her, then the husband has to provide her, even though she's not yet living in his house. And a gabay tzedakah who's helping to marry off a yisoma, lo yivchas chamishim zuz, cannot give her any less than chamishim zuz. Chamishim zuz is the bare minimum. Im yesh bakis mefarnes salafi kvoda, and if there happens to be more money in the tzedakah accounts, so give her more than chamishim zuz. Give her whatever would be appropriate lefi kvoda, based on her level of kavod. So says Mar Amar Abai, chamishim zuzei pshiti. When we say chamishim zuz, we're talking about chamishim zuzei medina, kesef medina. Again, kesef tsaruf is the kesef midaraisa, that's worth 8 times the amount of the kesef medina. So chamishim zuz is important to know what kind of currency we're talking about, because it's a huge difference. So when we say chamishim zuz, that you give her, it means the kesef medina, the one that's worth 1/8 of the kesef tsuri. So mimai, how do I know that that's true? Midiktani seifa, because the seifa of our Mishnah said, im yesh bekis mefarnus osa lefi kvod, that if there's enough money in the tzedakah account, give her way more than that. Give her lefi kvoda. V'amirin my kiss, amarachva arniki shol tzedakah. The kiss that we're talking about over here is tzedakah funds that we're providing her with. V'yisak dani chamishim zuz im mamish. And if you hold that these chamishim zuz are kesef tzuri, how much money are you going to give to a person from a tzedakah fund? Im yesh bekis kami avinallah. How come, because the tzedakah fund has a lot of cash in it, you're going to give a woman millions of dollars from the tzedakah? You're going to give her so much money from the tzedakah fund? Now that would be, it doesn't sound reasonable that you're gonna, that chamishim kesef tzuri is going to be a minimum, and then it only goes up from there. Elishmamina chamishim zuzi pshiti. So it must be that we're talking about chamishim zuzi pshiti, not chamishim zuzi of tzuri. Tan rabbanim yosom yisoma shabol lisparnes. When you have a yosom and a yisoma that both come to receive tzedakah money for to eat, so they can have food. Mefarnes in the yisoma of first we take care of the yisoma, the girl, and then the boy. Meaning, if there's only enough for one of them, the girl gets food and not the boy. Because it's less it's less undignified for a man to go around collecting tzedakah than it is for a woman. And we don't expect a woman to go through such an indignity of having to go around collecting tzedakah. So that's how Rashi is. So that we're talking about giving them mizonos. However, none of the Rishonim, the Rashba, and others point out that the Mishnah in the last parak of Horio says that ish kodem li'isha l'michya, that when it comes to giving one life and the ability to live, meaning food, ish kodem li'isha, right? That's all Mishnah tells me, Kohen kodem Levi, Levi kodem Yisrael, right? How you prioritize who gets first. Afilu mamzer tamul chacham is kodem lekoyin gadol ha'aretz. Right, so that's the list of priorities. So ish is kodem leisha. So what do we do about that? Over here, it sounds like you take care of the boys before you take care of the girls. So they say that in our sugya it's talking about ksus, begadim, things like that. But when it comes to mezonos, say nachinami, the boys would come before the girls. So against Rashi, how do you defend Rashi? So Tosrid defends Rashi. He says no, it's talking about mezonos, and the kasha of mesach sorry is not such a kasha because the isha is kodem lemezonos, like it says over here. When it says in Mesech Sorios that an ish is kodem, it means when there's not when there's nowhere to be chozer al pesachim. That's when an ish is kodem. But if you have the option of chozer, I mean, they're in a midbar somewhere. There are no doors to knock on. So then we say an ish is kodem leisha. But if you're not in a midbar and you have there are communities where people can go knocking on doors, then you take care of the yasoma followed by the yasom. Another halacha: yasom v'yasoma shaboli nase. If yasom and yasoma both need to get married, they need to pay expenses for their wedding. First we take care of the yisoma and then the yasom. Because it's more embarrassing for a girl not to be married than it is for a boy not to be married. This is part of the concept that women have a much greater desire to get married. So Tan Rabban, yasom shabal lisa. If a yasom wants to get married and doesn't have anything, so socher lo bayis. First, we rent him a house so he can have a place to live. And then we get him a bed. And then we get whatever he needs to run a household. And then he's ready to get married. He first has to have a place to live. He has to have some sort of a way to be able to provide for a wife. Because the pasuk says, when it talks about giving tzedakah, it says you give. So that refers to a house. That's referring to a mitzvah of a shulchan. Lo zo isha. And then lo is a reference to an isha. The Afla says the remez is that the phrase de machsaroa sheyachsalo is a gematria of bayis mito shulchan isha. So it works out exactly. V'cheinua, I didn't work it out, but I'll trust the Afla. It works out exactly. V'cheinua, Meren, it also says by isha eselo ezer kenegdo, that a woman is described as eselo. So that's how I know de machsaroa sheyachsalo is a reference to an isha. There are tshuvas in contemporary poskim, Rav Azman and others. So does it count as tzedakah? Is part of the chiv tzedakah? It says that you maskil lo bayis before he can get married. So when chassan is getting married in Eretz Yisrael, so it's in certain communities, it's understood that the mechatanim have to buy an apartment for the couple. They have to purchase, not to rent, to purchase an apartment in the proper neighborhood. And if he's the best guy in Brisk, then you have to buy two apartments because you have to buy one for them to live in, another one for them to rent out so that they can make money so that they can live. So you have people that come around here collecting money so that they're able to afford to buy an apartment for their children. So that's Rav Azar as a tshuva, whether that's part of maskir and lo bayis. He says, you know, there are less expensive neighborhoods where Yirei Shemayim live that they don't have to. It's obviously every dollar that you give to help out someone who doesn't have is tzedakah, but it's probably not in this category. He says, it might be Deimach Sorosh Yechsel if it's community standard that's what everybody does in that community, because we're about to see Deimach Sorosh Yechsel is even if people live to a very high standard, so it's part of the mitzvah of tzedakah to give them to live up to that standard. It's not the highest priority. Priority in tzedakah to give them to live up to that high standard, but it's certainly part of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tan Rabbanan, De Machsaro, Atam Tzavalov Lefarnis, Aviatam Tzavalov LaAshro, that a person is Chiyuv to be Mefarnis in Ani, we don't have to make an Ani rich, Ashayachsalo, Afilus Zirkalov Evelar Tzafanov. But then from the phrase Ashayachsalo, we learn that even if it means to have a horse to ride on and an Evet to run in front of him to give him cover, that's also Tzedakov. That's what he was used to when he was an Ashir and he's fallen on hard times, so then that's what you have to give him, meaning that's part of the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Amr Lavahullah Zakin, Shalak. Alkachlani ben Tovim, Echad Sus Lirka Vavad Lorit Sulfanav. That Hillel HaZaken once bought for an Ani who came from a wealthy family a horse to ride on and an Eved to run in front of him. Pamachas Lo Matza Eved Lorit Sulfanav. One day he couldn't find any, I don't know who these Avadim were that they would run, but I guess he stopped by the train station in Inwood or whatever to pick up some workers to, and there was no one there. There was a construction project going on somewhere, so they had no one to pick up. So Hillel couldn't find anyone. So Verutz Lefanav Shlosha Milin. So Hillel himself ran 3 milin in front of the guy. So that's a big discussion in the Achronim. What do you mean Hillel himself? Hillel was a Nasi. The Halach is Nasi Shmachal Al Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machal Tamul Chacham Shmachal Al Kvodo Kvodo Machal because Torah Dileihu, that it's his Torah. Someone told me someone wanted to fly Rav Shechter somewhere, and they said it's covered for the Rosh Yeshiva. We have to fly you private. He said, no, there's no way, I'm not doing that. So they said, but it's covered for the Talmud Chacham. You know, so it's not your covered to be Mochel. He said, I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is my covered to be Mochel. So, but a Nasi, it's not his covered to be Mochel. So a Nasi, ain't Kvod Mochel. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that this must have been before Hillel became a Nasi, meaning it's at a different stage in his life. Before he became a Nasi, he was extremely poor. He was Mistaka B'Trepik B'Chol Yom, and he was on the top of the window in the snow. And everything. Yeah, there must have been some in between time. There he was poor, then he was wealthy, then he became a Nasi, right? I guess at some point in his life. Ben Yoyada suggests that no one knew that he was Hillel when he was doing this job, when he was being Lawrence Lefanov. He changed his clothing. They didn't have Gedolim pictures. No one knew what he looked like. So he was able to get by and without them knowing. So it wasn't really Mechilas Kvoto because no one knew that it was him. So, okay, Tan Rabban, Maisa Banche Galila Elyon, Shalach Leni Ben Tovim, Echad Mitzipuri, Litra Basa B'chol Yom. They purchased for this guy a litra, a certain measure of meat every day to feed him. So Litra Basa, my Rabusa. What's the big chiddush about a Litra Basa? A Litra Basa is not so much, it's not so expensive. So Amravuna, Litra Basa Mishal Ofos. No, it's bird meat, which apparently used to be that, I guess the chicken was more expensive than beef. So it was that was a delicacy, that was very expensive. Vibay Yisema B'litra Basa Mamish. Some say that no, it was really flesh, it was really basar, it was really animal meat. Ravashi Amar Hasam Kfar Katan Haya B'chol Yom Av Mafsti Chayvos HaMatulta. But it was a small village, and every day they would have to shecht an animal just to provide this guy with a litra basar. See, normally you'd only shecht an animal if you know that you could sell all of the meat of that animal. You wouldn't want to shecht an animal and then just have one steak, and all the other meat that comes in that steak is going to rot. That would be terrible. So over there was a kfar katan. So and they would shecht an animal each day to provide this guy with his litra basar, which he was accustomed to. So again, three possible answers: either it was basar ofos, or meat was just very expensive in that place, or it was a place where they had to shecht a new animal every day just to provide this guy with the meat that he was used to. Another maisa, who dasul kamed Rabbi Nechemia. Someone came to Rabbi Nechemia, amalei b'me'at ha-soed, that what are you used to having for your suda? So amalei b'basar shavid v'ayin yashin. He says, I'm very makbid, I only eat the fattiest meat and the aged wine, the finest wine. Ritzon sheshkal gumi ba'adashim. So Rabbi Nechemia said, well, I'm eating lentils. Would you like to eat some lentils with me? You know, that's my dinner. So gilgali mo ba'adashim. So he ate with him because he had no choice and he had to eat. So the ani ate adashim with him, v'meis, and he died from it. He was so used to a higher level of maichel that he died from it. So Amram Nechemia said about that ani, oylo lezeh shahargo Nechemia. Woe unto this guy that Nechemia just killed him because I didn't provide him with what he was used to. So adraba, oylo lenechemia, shahargo lezeh. Why is he oylo lezeh? It's oylo lenechemia. Nechemia just did something terrible. He didn't give this guy what he needed and therefore the guy died. That's what he should have said. Rabbi Nechemia was saying he put himself in this position. He trained himself to be used to only the finer things in life to the point that he was going to die from eating a bowl of lentils. So that's on him. A person has to be careful to what level of gashmius they accustom themselves to. A person has to do a cheshbon nefesh of how much gashmius one really needs. I was just listening to a shiur from Rabbi Daniel Kalish. He said when he moved to Waterbury, he bought a house from a sports writer. And he said the house was a mess. So they fixed it up. They invested some money into the house to fix it up. They got a grant or something for teachers that was being offered by Waterbury Township or something. So they fixed up that. And he said it bothered him for years that this sports writer who deals with physical things, all he does is he talks about athletic prowess or whatever. And he was less magushim than I am. he was fine living in this house, and I have a higher level. So it's a good cheshbon nefesh that a person should think about. He said he realized afterwards he had a big screen TV in every single room in the house, so he wasn't really living in the house. He was living in an alternate universe that was that was presented on the television. It was a good part. So who does the kabed Rava? A guy came to Rava Amar lo b'me'ata soed. What do you what do you use for yisuda? What do you eat? Amar lo b'tarn gold p'tum of yain yash. And fine wine and fattened chicken. So Amalei, how could you demand that the tzibur provide you with such fine foods? Don't worry, you're not paying for it. God is paying for it. Hashem takes care of everything. Tanina, we have a brisa. That we all look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He provides us with the food. So Biitam lo nemar, it doesn't say Biitam b'lashon Ramel, Biitam in Lashon Yachid. Why does it say b'lashon Yachid? Lamech kalechad v'echad nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Kodesh Baruch Hu provides for each person as they need it. So I'm not being dochik the tzibur to provide me with things. Kodesh Baruch Hu provides it as I need it. Adahachi, as they were having this conversation, Asayachte de Rava, Rava's sister came, and it happened to be that was very unusual. He hadn't seen his sister in 13 years, and then his long lost sister shows up, pumped at that moment. Vasilei, and she brought him as a gift. Tarnagolas Petum of Yain Yashan, exactly what this guy eats for his meals. So Rava said to himself, what is going on over here? I haven't seen my sister in 13 years, and Mamish Bidiyuk, at this moment, she comes with exactly the kind of food that this guy demands. Amalei, Nanesi Lach. So Rava said to the Ani, Kumechol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has answered what you said, so obviously come and eat with me, because this was obviously Matan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ben Yoyada says, why wasn't Rava convinced by the guy bringing a Braisa? The guy quoted a Braisa that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mefarnes. So Rava thought that was only for someone who's some miftach about Kodesh Baruch Hu, but not someone who's being mevakesh that the tzibur be mefarnes him. So it's only when this unusual event happened that he was satisfied. Tan Rabbanan, ain lo v'ain rotz l'spanes. If a person doesn't have any money and he doesn't want to take money from tzedakah, nosn l'shem alvay, you give it to him as a loan, v'chazon nosn l'shem matana, and then later you're moichel it and you say you don't have to pay it back, you give it as a matana. Divra mer, v'chamom nosn l'shem matana, v'chazon nosn l'shem alvay. First give it as a matana, then turn it into alva. What? L'shem matana, lo shakil. You can't give it to him as a matana, he refuses to take. So first you offer it as a matana. When he says no thank you, then you give it as a halva, and that way even when you're giving it as a halva, he'll realize you wanted to give it as a matana, so he'll know that he doesn't really have to pay it back. So that way everyone will, you know, he'll have that peace of mind. If he has money but doesn't want to use his money to support himself, would rather take tzedakah, then you give it to him as tzedakah, and then you ask for the money back later after you've made sure that he eats. But the first time you do that, he'll be onto your trick and he's never going to take again, and he's going to starve to death. So Amar Papa Lachmi, so you know, you keep a running cheshbon, and then when he dies, you go to his estate and you take whatever he has taken over the years. Rabbi Shimon Rami Yeshel Ben Rotsel Lespanis. If a person has money and doesn't want to use it, ain is kakalo. Just don't pay any attention to him. Let him suffer. Ain lo Ben Rotsel Lespanis. If he doesn't have money when he doesn't want to take tzedakah, omlo have mashkon v'tol. You tell him bring a mashkon and take money keneged the mashkon kadesha tzuach daito olav, so that he'll have a little bit of pride when he takes the money. Tan Rabbanan, Haveit, Zeshe in Lovein Rotz Lesparnis. Haveit is a lashon of halva'a. That's someone who doesn't have any money, but he doesn't want to take any money from tzedakah. Nosan l'shem halva'a, v'chaz nosan l'shem matana. So you give it to him as a loan, and then ultimately you turn it into a matana. Tavitenu, the double lashon is Zeshe Yesh Lovein Rotz Lesparnis. Person who has money but doesn't want to take, Shenosan l'shem matana, v'chaz v'infarni, men l'achamis, adiv Rabbi Yehuda. Give it to him as a matana, and then after he dies, we'll take from his estate. V'chamom Yesh Lovein Rotz Lesparnis, ain't his the Chum say, no, if he has money, he doesn't want to spend it on himself, we don't have to support that guy. So what do I do with the double Lashon? Sometimes the Torah speaks, so it speaks in double Lashonos. Marukva used to give four zuz to an ani in his neighborhood, but he would just leave it by the doorstep and run away. So one day the ani said, I want to see who's doing doing me this favor. How you yomi nachlein marukva the Beit Midrash? It happened to be that day Marukva was delayed in the Beit Midrash. So asked to bitu baday. His wife came with him and kiven the chazir because he didn't want to go out alone at night. And it wasn't a violation of matan b'seisa to go with your wife because ishto kigufo. It's okay that his wife knows about the chesed that he does. Kiven the chazir the kamatzi leludasha. When the ani saw someone approaching the door, navak basra, he started to chase after him. Rod mikameis. So Marukva started running away from him. He didn't want to be caught as being the one collecting staka. They went into an oven that was swept out of its coals. Havakamakalian carried the Marukva, but it was still boiling hot, so Marukva's feet were burning. So his wife said, Shkol karecho su'a karoi, take your feet and put them on my feet. So Marukva got very upset because I do all this staka. My wife is such a bigger tzaddikah. She has a miracle that her feet aren't burning. I guess he wasn't aware that women's hands don't burn when you touch the oven, only men's hands. But her feet aren't burning, my feet are burning. Why is she a bigger tzaddikah? So she said to him, I'm always around the house, and therefore, when people come, I'm able to always provide for them, and I'm able to provide for them food that they're able to use right away. So my zuchus of tzedakah is a greater zuchus than your zuchus of tzedakah. That's what Rashi writes in Maseches Tainis. It's two things. First of all, everyone knows where to find her. She's always around the house. So when the ani comes, she's always there. And second of all, when she provides for the ani, she's providing something that he's able to use right away. Maikulehai, why did they do so much, Marukva and his wife, to run away from the ani? That we know that it's better to go into a kivshanesh than to embarrass someone. And for the guy to realize he's getting money from Marukva would have been terribly embarrassing for that person. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with another story of Marukva.